Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Got some ladies here that stayed over from the conference. Y'all too? All right. Where are you from?
Bentonville.
Where?
Bentonville.
Bentonville. All right.
Arkansas.
Y'all too? All right. All right. Well, did you ever think about moving to Joplin? Hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. I want to thank everybody that did so much work to make the conference a success. And there were many, many lives that were touched. And probably no lives were touched more than the ones that did all the work to get it accomplished. And anyway, so proud of all of you. And just amazing. I've been listening to prayers and people talk just since I got back. And just things that I had prayed about for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I get here and I hear some of y'all talking and I say, God, you're already ahead of me. Isn't it good? And we don't have to make something happen. God makes it happen. He said, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the church, then it's just all done in vain. So He's building us, right? Praise the Lord. Well, let's see here. I got about 3 weeks that I got to do in about 10 minutes. Think I can do it in 10 minutes? Yeah, maybe not. Anyway, bless all of you. It's an honor to be your pastor. Honor to be in a church like this that God's moving. And maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you've just been here a few times. But let me just say it's not an accident. God sent you here to be part of what He's beginning to do. And anyway, I would love to be your pastor if you don't have one. And so you need a pastor and you need a good church. So I'm going to tell you a story, okay? We're not going to have a lot of scriptures on the thing today because I figured y'all just want to see me on the screen. And so, you know, but Jesus, He was... Him and His disciples, they were going to a wedding. And they got to this wedding, and after it was going a long time, the wedding, they ran out of wine. And that's bad if you're a wino, isn't it, running out of wine? And they ran out of wine. And so Jesus' mother went to Him and said, Jesus, said, they're out of wine. Do something. And He said, lady, what are you doing to me? It's not my time yet. And she looked over at the other guys and said, whatever He says, do it. And so anyway, Jesus, we know the story. He turned these barrels into these purification barrels, said, fill them up with water. And, you know, He didn't just make them a fifth or, a couple liters. Each one of those barrels had 20 to 30 gallons of water in them. And so He made all those five or six barrels, however many He made that wine. Well, they got to drinking the wine, and somebody came and said, wow, told the master, the head of the party there, said, usually you bring the best stuff out first, and then everybody gets drunk, and then they don't taste it, and then you can bring the bad wine out. But said, you've saved the best wine until last. That's the name of what I'm going to talk about. That's what I've titled what I'm going to speak about today. Jesus has saved the best wine for the last. I heard a story about a traveling preacher, and he went into, stopped in a little farming community to speak at a men's breakfast. And so he thought, well, I'll ask one of the older farmers here to say a prayer and start us off. And so the farmer bows his head and he says, Lord, you know I hate buttermilk. And the preacher kind of looked one eye and what are we getting into here? And he said, and Lord, you know I hate lard. Now the preacher's looking both ways, man, and he says, the old farmer goes on and he says, And Lord, you know I don't like raw white flour very much. And now the preacher's thinking, man, maybe I better get up and stop this because I don't know where this is going. And then the old farmer went on and he said, but when you mix all those together and bake them, I sure do like biscuits. And he said, Lord, maybe there's some here today that don't understand what's going on in their life. Maybe they don't like what's happening right now. But Lord, help us all to just be patient and let you keep mixing and keep baking. And we're liable to get something better than those good old biscuits. I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know the devil, and I know what he does. And let me just say, just be patient. God's mixing it up. He's mixing it up. He's got a plan. And when he gets done mixing up the stuff in your life's going to be better than it ever was before. Because he saved the best wine to last for you. I don't know, I believe we're living in an exciting time in the world. I believe we're in an exciting time in this church. I believe we are at a time now where God's kind of wrapping things up a little bit, and he's showing himself strong, and I believe he's doing more miracles, and he's moving more now than ever in the history of the world. I believe that he's more powerful now. He's showing, demonstrating his power in a bigger way now. We're at a place that Joel spoke about, and then Peter quoted Joel on the day of Pentecost and confirmed it. But let me just read it to you out of Acts. It says, and in the last, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I'm holding you on that one, Lord. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. And your manservants on your maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great coming, great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, I love this verse, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I believe, yeah, give God some praise. Give Jesus some hand clap there. Huh? I believe that the latter rain is more than the former rain. I believe that God's doing some things, and I believe that's what Peter was talking here about on the day of Pentecost. He quoted Joel. And when he quoted that, I believe that was the beginning of the last days. But you know what's exciting to me is we're nearing the end of the last days. You realize some of us here today probably will get to hear that trumpet shout. We'll get to hear those angels shout. We'll get to hear that noise coming from heaven. And then, whoo, we're out of here. Exciting times. But you know what? It's exciting now. There's things going on now. There's miracles going on now. And I just tell you today, we haven't seen nothing yet. But you know what? You won't see those things if you're not looking for them. You know, just because you didn't see a miracle doesn't mean God didn't do one. And if you're not looking for the things of God, you won't see the things of God. I correlate that illustration with our political structure right now. Now, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, if you're Trump or against Trump or whatever, but you know, the truth is we live in a country and we ought to all be joining together and believe in God to do something in our country. And God's doing a mighty work in our country right now. And you know what? Most Christians aren't even seeing it because they're too busy listening to the news. We've already had so many miracles in the first 6 months of this administration, more than we've seen in the last 8, 10 years. But my point is this, we get so busy and so focused on some negative stuff that we don't see all the good stuff. You can get so focused on the negative things in your life that you don't see all that God's doing. Just because you're not seeing a miracle doesn't mean He's not doing one. The people around you see Him doing them in your life. You just don't see them. God's good. You know, I've learned something. The Bible says, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll let the enemy put our fire out. Huh? If we're not careful, he'll sneak up on you and he'll steal your dreams. He'll kill your hope. And he'll bring destruction into your life. You know, we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. Lori's message last week, we need to be focused on the Word of God. We need to be focused on the things of God. Because I'm telling you, the best wine hadn't came yet. The best things in your life haven't happened yet. Maybe you've had some good things happen. Maybe if you're like all of us, we've all had our share of bad things happen. But listen, no time to look back. Time to look forward. He saved the best wine for you and for me till the last. We need to focus on Him instead of what the enemy's doing. See, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? He said, I'm sending my Spirit to live inside of you and He'll never leave you. That's pretty good news. He said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. You know what that means? That means that what He started in your life, He's going to finish if you'll let Him. Huh? That means those dreams that He's given you that you don't think are ever going to come to pass, if you'll just keep believing Him and keep standing in faith, He's going to bring those dreams to pass in your life. Yes, What He started in your life, He's going to finish. Those dreams that He's put in your heart. Dreams He's going to put in your heart. You young folks, He's putting dreams in your heart right now. Just look forward to that new wine. Look forward to those things happening. Some of you are going to have some things happen in your life that's going to surpass anything you ever imagined. Going to be exceeding abundantly above anything you've ever asked for or believed for. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Some of you older ones here, it's time now to get your eyes back on Jesus. And it's time now to start. Just because those dreams haven't come to pass yet doesn't mean that they're not going to. You know, I talk about Caleb. Caleb's one of my heroes, I guess because I'm getting closer to the age of Caleb. Maybe that's why he's one of my heroes, you know. But Caleb was 85, and he looked at that mountain. But here's the story. Here's the story. When Caleb was 40 years old. Think with me just a second. When he was 40 years old, him and Joshua went into the promised land and they saw all that God was going to do for them. He saw all the land that God was going to give them. And everything was so abundant and so great. And they came back excited, on fire, and said, whoa, man, you can't believe this over here. You can't believe what God's got waiting for us. And 10 guys that went in with them killed their dreams. Just kill her. Yeah, it's good, but there's giants over there. There's giants over there. And that fear crept in and stopped the kids, the children of Israel, from going into all that God had for them. But now think about it. Here, 40 years later in the wilderness, all the old stick-in-the-muds have died off. All the young visionaries are still on the scene, and they step into the promised land. Now, they go into the promised land, and they've been fighting for 5 years after they went in. Now, think about it. Caleb's 40 years old. He goes into the promised land, spies it out, and while he's walking in there, he looks and he sees this mountain. And God speaks to his heart, and he said, "Caleb, I'm going to give you that mountain. That belongs to you and your seed. I'm going to give it to you." Caleb said, "All right, all right." He goes back. The dream's killed. He goes through 40 years. I don't know about you, but 40 years, he might have forgot about that mountain. I mean, I forget about things that God told me in the past that he wanted to do through me, and I forget about those dreams. And so maybe Caleb forgot about that mountain. He came out. They finally came and came into the promised land. And here for 5 years, there's been battle after battle. They've been taking ground everywhere they go. And picture with me, Caleb's 85 years old now. And he walks up and all of a sudden he looks and he sees that mountain. And he says, "I remember that. God, you said that was my mountain." He went to Joshua and said, "Joshua, I was 40 years old when he told me I could take it. Been in the wilderness 40 years. He said, been out here fighting for it. He said, now I'm 85 years old. And he said, I still can possess that mountain. It's still mine." My point was this. Caleb maybe forgot about that promise, maybe forgot about that dream. But when he looked and saw it, boy, it stirred him up. And when he looked and saw it, man, he goes, "I remember that. I remember that." Paul said, "Stir up that gift that's in you." I say that because some of you have let the enemy steal your dreams, kill your hopes. You've just been going from one battle to the next. Whew, time now to start looking for the new wine. Time now to start stirring up those old dreams, stirring up those gifts in you. Now, time now to start remembering what God's told you. You know, I told God not long back, I was sitting and I just got to thinking and I was praying and I said, "Man, Lord, you showed me a lot of dreams through the years. You let me see a lot of visions and a lot of dreams through the years. And Lord, a lot of those things haven't come to pass." The Lord spoke to me way down deep inside like only he can do. He said, "We'll stir it up. We'll just stir it up. Reach down there and get it. Just dare to believe me again. Stir it up. Start to dream big again." So I started stirring it up. I started remembering. "God, you told me when I was 35 years old that this had happened in my life, and it hadn't happened yet, so hallelujah, the best wine is still to come. You showed me this thing's happening and this happening and that happening. God, I still believe it's going to happen. And you know what? Now I'm going to get to see all those dreams come to pass." And you know what's the exciting thing that he showed me? Many of those big dreams that I dream bigger than me are going to come to pass in some of you. Huh? You see, you know what made Central great? God gave Pastor Mac some dreams and some visions. And then some of us, young bucks, come along and we didn't know any better but to just believe that God could do it. He said, "Get a bus and you can fill it up." We didn't know any better than to think and believe that we could fill a bus up. And as we took those dreams and added our dreams, those dreams became together. They came together and vision began to grow and things began to happen. It kind of reminds me of what I kind of see happening around here right now. You're not here by accident. Huh? You didn't just start coming here because it was your idea. No, God's got his hand on you, and he's stirring things up in your life. And it's not an accident that you're here. It's a divine appointment that you're here. And some may just be here for a season. Some may be here. I thought I was just here for a season 44 years ago. But it doesn't matter, because you're part of the dream. You're part of his plan. You're part of his vision. Can I just be honest? I need some of you younger ones to use your vision to let God stir up some of my dreams in your life and in this church and in this town. Because you see, I still believe that we're going to see this whole community saved and serving the Lord. Oh, it won't just be Central, and it won't just be First Church or Second Church or Believer's Church or whatever. We got so many churches with so many names. Somebody says, well, do you know so-and-so? I said, no, man, I don't even try to keep up. But if they're for us, they're not against us. Huh? And we just got satellites everywhere, and we're just taking land for the kingdom. And man, I get excited when I hear about a church growing. I get excited when I hear about them having a big day. Because man, listen, we're taking the land for God. And I just need some of you young ones to use your vision to bring some of this stuff to pass. It'd be good if I had all of you, but I don't. You know, if just one would do the trick. Just one guy named Moses. Just one man led 2.5 million people out of Egypt. Just one man. Just one man, Shamgar, and all he had was an old stick in his hand, and he delivered Israel from the Philistines. Just one guy, David, he was just a little kid. He just had a slingshot. That's just an old piece of leather that you twirl around with a couple of stones. And he killed a giant and delivered Israel from the Philistines. A little kid. See, it doesn't take everybody. I hope everybody hears this today. But if I can just get one of you to hear, and go after God. Woo! That's okay. When your fire gets lit, it'll light everybody else's fire around you. Huh? I learned that a long time ago. You don't ever notice there's more people that follow a fire truck, but there ain't not many people following hearse. Unless you happen to be at that funeral, you know. Listen, just one. Listen, I thought about this. You know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Matter of fact, he wrote the part of the New Testament that's to us that are Gentiles. And one time when Paul had just got saved, I got to hurry here. One time when Paul had just gotten saved, he was rambunctious, and all the people in the city got mad at him. Were going to kill him, and so they were going to kill him, and one guy got an idea. Said if we could just get a rope and a basket and some guys to help, we could let him down over the side of the wall in a basket. We could let him down and they wouldn't kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty glad somebody got that idea. How about you? Huh? Just takes one. One of you listening to me have got an idea, and when God sparks that in you, you're going to fill up a whole section of people. And they're going to all get saved. And they're going to all live for God. Well, now don't act so excited. If you're not the one, just be excited for whoever the one is. Just start looking around. The enemy makes you think that it's all over. He makes you think that that it's never going to happen. He makes you think, well, you're too old. I mean, I had my shot and I missed it. Are you still breathing? Huh? Then there's still a little powder in there then. just pucker up and shoot one more time. You just don't know what the Lord can do if you give him a chance. You see, in the book of Haggai, he said that the latter house was going to be greater than the former house. Huh? The Bible says that the old rain, God caused the latter rain to rain moderately. But boy, when the new rain comes, it's going to be a flood. Somebody's getting ready to have a flood in their life. Huh? You're getting ready to have a flood in your life. You ought to be saying to yourself right now, that's me, God, that's me. I volunteer, that's me. Every time I hear somebody on TV or in a service and I hear somebody saying a promise, I go, that's me, God, that's for me. I want that, I want that. Well, what if you don't get it? Yeah, I know, but I'm going after it all anyway. Somebody said, I said, I just want to see everybody saved. And somebody, a preacher told me a while back, said, well, now, Hank, you know everybody can't get saved. I said, why not? Huh? Why not? If I think everybody can get saved, I might get more saved than you if you think not everybody will get saved. Little boy in the backyard, you've heard this, shooting his BB gun, and the guy walks, the dad walks out and says, what are you doing? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. And the dad said, well, silly, don't you know you can't hit the moon? He said, maybe not, but I'm getting closer to it than you are. Someone listening to me, you've been through it. Life hadn't been fair to you. You've had more than your share of tragedy and heartache and despair. But let me tell you something. It ain't over till it's over. Fat lady hadn't sang yet. The final chapter of your book hadn't been written yet. And I'm telling you what, he saved your best wine till the last. It's always darkest right before dawn. Now, I know some of you wouldn't know that because you haven't seen that in years and years, but it's always the darkest right before dawn. It's always the darkest right before the answer starts to come. But I'm telling you, somebody listening to me, you got some good stuff on the way. Yeah. Corrie Ten Boom, some of you know who she is. If you don't, you ought to go and study her, read her story. But she was a Holocaust victim and a young kid and her family killed. And she survived the concentration camps. And they did movies about her and wrote books about her. But one time she was going through a tunnel. She was on a train and went through a dark tunnel. And while she went through that tunnel, the Lord spoke to her. And he said, Corrie, in your darkest times, you just need to remember that the same God that was there when you were in the light, he's still with you in the dark. That's when the enemy tries to get us to give up. But I'm here today to tell somebody he's got some beauty for your ashes. Whew, I'm telling you what, dawn's about to come in your life. The best wine is coming forth. Somebody here, you've had a bad marriage. But let me just say something. He saved the best till the last. Somebody here's went from one relationship to another and just had bad experiences. Won't you just commit your life to the Lord, because your best wine is ready to come. Somebody here, you've lost your job and it seemed like the world was coming to an end. And I'll just tell you today, your best wine's still coming. God might just be stirring something up in your life so he can make something good at the end. Your business failed. It's pretty devastating for a business to fail. I've had that happen to me a time or two. Devastating. But I found out one thing. God always takes everything the enemy means for our destruction, and he always turns it around for our strength. And I'm just here today to tell you, the best wine's coming. The best wine's coming. You thought that career, when that career ended, you just thought your life was over for a little while there. But you know what? God didn't lose his recipe for success. Huh? Just commit to him. Just trust him. Just believe him again and watch what he does. Raise you up. Raise you up. Just don't make the mistake that some do. See, some are seeking God when we're in the valley. Some are seeking God when we're in the when we're rising up. But whenever he puts you and makes you king on the mountain, you be sure and tell him who put you on that mountain. His name's Jesus. Well, anyway, your best wine. He said, man, you saved the best till the last. Thank you, Jesus. You think maybe that's what he meant when he said, if you believe in me, the things that I do, you'll do also. But greater things than these will you do. What's he saying? He's saying, yeah, you're going to do what I did, but I'm sending some new wine, and you're going to be able to do greater things than I did. Oh, that's good. I'm getting more of you. I'm getting more of you. Yeah. I'll just keep going until I get all of you. No, I won't. Another thought came to me out of this little story. You know, Jesus didn't go to the wedding to do a miracle. When his mom came and told him that, he said, no, it's not my time yet. He didn't go to the wedding to do a miracle. He went to the wedding to have a good time. Look at me so shocked. Weddings were celebrations. They were parties. Man, Jesus told his disciples, come on, let's go party. That's hard on an old religious brain, isn't it? That's why your forehead's wrinkled. Let me ask you something. What do unsaved people say when they see you? You know, to see a lot of Christians, I was going to say most, but I can't do that because I've got you here, and I don't think it's most anymore, but a lot of Christians, man, if you see them, you can't tell any difference from them and the unsaved people. They're frowning and crying more. Brother Mac used to say, they look like they've been eating oats out of a stovepipe. Think about it. Man, we're supposed to be carrying the good news. Look at some of us, man. They go, whew, if that's the good news, I'll stick with the old news. Huh? Just give me some fake news, huh? Kind of remind me, remember, anybody here old enough to remember the show Hee Haw? Randy almost called you and had you come down and sing that song with me. You remember the song on their song said, gloom, despair, and agony on me, oh. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Remember that? If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. Do you know, Now, that would have sounded a lot better if Randy would have been singing it with me. Let me ask you something. Do you realize that you are a walking billboard for Jesus Christ? Huh? You don't have to be happy all the time to look happy. Man, you should have a joy down inside of you that's your strength. And when everything on the outside's not going good, there's a joy in there, and you say, man, she's a little rough today, but hallelujah, the best wine's still coming. Greater is he that's inside here than he that's causing all this mess out here, and I'm just going to be happy anyway. You know, being happy is just a choice. It's an inside job. Well, I didn't mean to get all wound up there, but let me ask you something. What's on your sign? You're a walking advertisement. What are you advertising? Oh, gloom, despair. It's just so rough. Tell me something I don't know. Huh? I just decided I was going to quit giving the devil more advertisement than I give God. So the more he tries to cause problems in my life, the bigger I smile. He starts trying to cause trouble in my finances, I go find somebody and give him some money. He starts trying to make my body sick, I start going and finding people to pray for. Because the joy of the Lord's my strength. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what's going on around me. I'm moved by the Spirit of God. Well, when people look at you, do they want what you have? Huh? So now I'm looking around here. Man, they look at some of you, they want to go back to the bar and get drunk. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so you could have abundant life. Life and life more abundantly. Let me ask you something. Are you living abundant life? Why not? Don't have to have $1 million to live abundant life. Matter of fact, you don't have to have a dollar to live abundant life. Huh? You don't have to have anything going out here to have abundant life alive on the inside of you. And when you get this on the inside of you changed and fixed, this out here will start changing too. Because your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. That's what the Bible says. As you think in your heart, that's the way it'll be. You live an abundant life? If not, then you're just a decision away. Just make a decision. You don't have to feel nothing. Just say right now to yourself, say, I'm living abundant life. I'm making up my mind. I'm living abundant life. You know what will happen? Your attitude will start changing. You know what will happen then? The people's attitude around you will start changing. You know what's happening then? Then everybody will be wanting to get around you instead of get away from you. I just don't know. Those people just don't like me. Well, won't you be more likable? Huh? Nobody shook my hand. Well, whose hand did you shake? Huh? Pastor didn't hug me. Well, come on down here after service. Give me a hug. I wear myself out before the message trying to hug as many people as I can hug. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, yes, but you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. No, I don't know, but you know what? Jesus does. Woo! And you're not the first one to ever go through it. And he helped them get through it. He'll help you get through it. Huh? Not only that, but when you get through it, you'll not just be a conqueror. You'll be more than a conqueror. Come on, this ought to have somebody excited anyway. I love what R.W. Shambach used to. Anybody remember Shambach? Woo, come on. Some of you young ones, you need to look some of these heroes of the faith up, man. Study them. Listen to their sermons. No excuse now. You got Google. No excuse. Shambach, his famous saying was, "You don't have any trouble. You just need faith in God." I listened to him on the radio one day, and he had some lady growing teeth. She said, "I don't got no teeth." He put his finger in it. He said, "Feel that?" She grew teeth while he was praying for her. "Well, I don't believe that." "Well, I know you won't see it either. If you don't believe it, don't worry about it. It won't ever happen around you." Jesus said, hey, listen, Jesus said in the world, "I wasn't supposed to work this hard today. But you're worth it. You're worth it." Jesus said, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Huh? Can I read you that out of the Amplified Classic? It says, "I told you," this is Jesus, he said, "I told you these things so that in me you could have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration, but you can be of good cheer anyway. You can take courage. You can be confident. You can be certain and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to hurt you, and I have conquered it for you." Woo! Just take a minute. Jesus, you're wonderful! Do you understand what he said? Let me ask you something. Who's the strongest, God or the devil? Who has more power, God or the devil? Who's the final say and authority on everything, God or the devil? Then why are we spending so much time advertising the devil? We ought to be telling people about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We ought to be telling the good news. You might be down, you might be out, but I'm telling you what, Jesus got some better wine for you. He said, "I've overcome the world for you." That's Jesus talking. When I say that, you ought to say, "That's me. I've overcome the world for you. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. I've conquered it for you." Woo! Glory to God. God said, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." He said, "When the enemy comes in one way, he'll leave seven ways." He said, "You call on me in your time of trouble and I'll deliver you." He said, "I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing so big you don't have room to put it all." He said, "I'll rebuke the devil for you." He said, "I'm able to do for you exceeding abundantly above anything that you can ever ask or think." And Paul summed it up in Romans 8 chapter. He said, "If God be for us, who could stand against us?" Well, I hope I'm cheering somebody up because I'm working awful hard for something there. Just give Jesus a hand clap. Give him some praise. Listen, I'm just saying, no matter what it was like yesterday, your past may not have been all that you wanted it to be or all that it expected it to be, but Jesus is saying to you today, "I've saved your best wine till last. I've saved your best wine till last." And could I add something in there? The bigger the battle that you've been having, the bigger the blessing is that's coming to you. Yes. Huh? The devil doesn't know any better than to keep trying, but he doesn't realize as he takes us into these battles, as we battle, we get muscles, we get strength, we get more powerful, and we come out of those battles able to conquer more than we ever were able before we went into them. You've never been in a valley that you didn't come out stronger than you were when you went in. So, I don't know if I said anything that helped you today. Huh? I want us all to say something to the devil right now. He can't read your mind, but he can hear what you say. So everybody say something with me. Devil. Jesus saved. The best wine for me. Till the last. Woo! Glory to God. You ought to walk out of here, tell him everything you've done to me has just worked for my benefit. Everything you've tried to do hadn't discouraged me. You just got me more excited. I'm going to drink that new wine, that good wine, that best wine that God has for me. Let me end with this now. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Huh? You can't keep thinking and acting the same way and expect different results. That's what repentance is. Repentance, it just means I'm turning. I want all you, God. I'm turning from my ideas. I want your ideas. That make sense? Well, praise the Lord. I'm done. You know, the greatest thing that God ever said, when he said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I just said that because I know there's somebody in here and you don't know right now if you died, you'd go to heaven. I don't know who you are. But he says to you today, will you call on me? Will you call on the name of Jesus? If you'll just call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. Didn't have any hurdles to jump over, any hoops. He didn't say change your life. He said call on me. Call on me. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, at least you're smart enough to realize that. None of us are. Don't worry about that part. You just make him the Lord of your life, and then he'll make you gooder. Is that a good word, gooder? Huh? That's as good a word as bigly. Huh? Gooder? Everybody stand. I got a little wound up. I really intended to get done. We're done a little early today, but I want to give you a chance. If you need to come and ask Jesus into your heart, just come down and let one of us pray with you. Just come down. I got some information, a little booklet I'd like to give you. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we're going to sing one verse here, one verse. If you don't know for sure, come on down and let one of us pray with you, okay? Sing me one verse. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life. If there's any doubt in there, don't leave here today without that doubt in your heart. Because God wants that fellowship back with you. Oh, he wants to shine in your heart. He wants to bring forth, to gush forth that new wine into your life. Are saved, why don't you just praise him and thank him. We're going to go ahead and dismiss, but some of you here, if there is somebody here and just something you don't know if you're right, you just don't know, even after we dismiss, come on down. One of us would love to pray with you. Maybe you have something that you just like us to agree with you and pray with you about. We'd be happy to do that. And God wants to show himself big in your life. He wants to do big things in your life. So as we leave today, I speak his blessing into you. I believe him to touch your life and bless your life. And I believe from this day forward for you to begin to see and taste that best wine that he has for your life. I believe he's not through mixing us up yet. Woo, but it's going to be good biscuits when he's done, isn't it? Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. If you need to be baptized, you need to be prayed for, come on down. We're here to do it. Hey, I love you. We look forward to seeing you next time.